Welcome to today's reading of the Midland Reporter Telegram and the Odessa American, read by volunteers and staff. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
This is Jane reading for the Midland Reporter Telegram for Thursday, February the 3rd. Midland braces for freeze. Resources. Local efforts offer help. Winter shelter accepting donations and volunteers. Emergency shelter. True Light Christian Fellowship and Backyard Ministries are partnering to serve those who will be outside during the frigid temperatures headed to the region. They will provide a winter shelter beginning at 8 p.m. on Wednesday and continuing through noon Saturday at the church, 3001 North A Street. For more information, including how to help or donate, call or text Carl Borowski at 432-553-3116. That is 432-553-3116. Or True Light at 432-687-3077. True Light at 432-687-3077. Crisis Readiness Program. Breaking Bread Ministries has developed the Community Crisis Readiness Program to help support the emergency management system in Midland County. Since 2021, Breaking Bread has coordinated with the Mayor's Office, the Midland County Sheriff's Office, the Midland Police Department, the Midland County Fire Marshal, and Emergency Management to devise a dedicated plan to help the community with volunteer response and preparedness in support of first responders during emergencies, crises, and inclement weather. We strongly and lovingly ask that the Midland County community not act as individuals in situations such as the current potential for winter storm, Breaking Bread's Trey Atwater wrote. If anyone is willing and available to be part of the response plan, please coordinate with the Breaking Bread Ministries Control Center at 432-689-2339 to join the list of volunteers. That number is 432-689-2339. This ensures the safety of volunteers, first responders, and those in need of emergency services. In preparedness for the current weather advisory, there are primary, secondary, and tertiary response plans in place and currently on call, Atwater wrote. Questions, concerns, and volunteer inquiries should all be directed toward the Breaking Bread Ministries Control Center in order to maintain accountability of personnel, continuity of safety procedures, and best steward of community resources. Need child care? The Midland YMCA will be offering child care from 7:30 a.m. to 5:30 p.m. for members and non-members. This is Jane reading for the Midland Reporter Telegram on Thursday, February the 3rd. Road bond project enters final phases. The Midland Road Bond Program isn't yet at mission accomplished, but city officials can see the finish line of arguably the largest road rehabilitation project in the city's history. Jose Ortiz, the Engineering Services Director for the City of Midland, recently told the Midland City Council during their planning session last week that 24 of the road bond's 26 projects are completed or under construction. The $100 million program also remains under budget, he said. That is 24 roads completed over a five-year program. That is quite an accomplishment. Additional investments made by the council in road maintenance over the last 6 to 7 years have allowed the city to take care of other paving projects across town. Ortiz mentioned recent projects near the Scarborough Sports Complex, where concrete was used that will help extend the life of the roads around DeVille and Tradewinds. Doing those projects in-house saved the city up to 40%, he said. what's to come. Finishing the road bond is a top priority. Ortiz said the A Street construction downtown, Missouri Avenue to Cuthbert, will be completed by the end of March, while the project on A Street further north will continue for another 9 to 12 months. The two remaining projects on the road bond will be big projects, Garfield Street north of Midland Memorial Hospital and Main Street north of downtown. City officials announced those two projects will not take place at the same time because they, like A Street, are north-south streets, and city officials want to allow for more open roads, especially those heading into downtown. When Garfield does begin, city officials stated they will work on intersections first to allow for as much east-west traffic to help with the possible closures of north-south thoroughfares in central Midland. They plan to work on intersections at Michigan and Louisiana Avenues first, do the utility work, and then open them back up. The same will be true of the work on Golf Course Road. The Garfield Street construction is expected to take 18 months and will be redone in concrete to help protect the road from the amount of water it will carry. Other city projects, Ortiz told the Reporter Telegram that Fairgrounds Road north of Loop 250 will be an area of focus. The goal is to construct a road from Loop 250 to Mockingbird, and it will connect the north-south road with what's currently in place from Mockingbird to Occidental Parkway. Once completed, it will provide Midland with another north-south street that goes through basically the entire city and that could get commuters off State Highway 349. The project will be bid out in late spring. Ortiz also said in-house projects will include Louisiana Avenue, west of Garfield to Montford. In 2023, work may take place to extend Wadley Avenue in West Texas. City officials want to see state funding at the intersection of Wadley and SH 158. Ortiz also mentioned the partnership between the city and county to reconstruction of Industrial Avenue from Midkiff Road to Loop 250. This is Jane reading for the Midland Reporter Telegram on Thursday, February the 3rd. Temps to drop as low as 9 degrees. The National Weather Service forecast calls for a 20% chance of snow before 9 a.m. Otherwise, expect north winds gusting to as high as 10 to 15 miles per hour. On Thursday, the high will be 24, wind chill as low as 3. Thursday night, a low of 9, wind chill as low as 5. Friday, a high of 32. This is Jane reading from the Midland Reporter Telegram on Thursday, February the 3rd. Closures, classes among cancellations. The following is a list of closures announced because of the forecasted winter weather. School cancellations. Midland ISD, Ector ISD, Idea Travis and Idea Yukon, Hillcrest School, Midland Christian, Trinity School of Midland, Greenwood ISD, Midland College. St. Anne's Catholic School will be closed, but students will learn virtually. UT Permian Basin said classes will be held remotely on Thursday and Friday. Government, Midland County offices will be closed Thursday. City of Midland offices will be closed Thursday. Critical services will be operating. The West Texas Food Bank has canceled the pantry in Midland. It will not be rescheduled. The pantries in Pecos and Mentone have been rescheduled. Dragonfly Pediatrics will be closed. Midland Health closures and delayed openings. Closed Thursday. COVID-19 drive-through testing site will reopen Friday at 10 a.m. Valet parking at the main campus and the Craddock Medical Office building will be reopening on Monday. eligibility office walk-ins at the Abel Hanger Building, ambulatory CBO delayed opening on Thursday, West Texas Therapy will open at 9 a.m., Diagnostic Imaging Associates will open at 10 a.m., Breast Center at Legends will open at 10 a.m., West Texas Orthopedics will open at 10 a.m., Rheumatology Clinic will open at 10 a.m., Premier Clinics will open at 10 a.m., Midland Cardiology will open at 10 a.m., Outpatient Laboratory will open at 10 a.m., Registration at the F. Murray Hall Outpatient Center, DIA Legends, and DIA Main Campus will open at 10 a.m. This is Jane reading for the Midland Reporter Telegram on Thursday, February 3rd. Biz Buzz. Posh Party Place soft rentals offer fun to children of all ages. Posh Party Play provides a luxurious, soft party play service for those planning parties. The business offers custom equipment rentals with soft play for younger ages, as well as bouncy castles and ball pits for more adventurous children. Owner Karina Johnson, 27, saw a need for a more refined party rental service in the area. She started the business in October of last year. Soft play is soft padded play equipment that stimulates gross motor skills, she said. It is also great for social skills as well as sensory development because we also do the ball pits.
Hi, this is Linda. I'm reading the Midland Reporter Telegram for Thursday, February 3rd, 2022. Community Roundup. Midland Art Crawl Kickoff Mixer. Artists, art lovers, and others are invited to the Midland Art Crawl Kickoff Mixer by Midland AF, starting at 4:45 p.m. Friday at Second Story Co-working. Mingle with Midland artists while learning about the 2022 Midland Art Crawl. The event is free and will feature drinks and conversation. The first official Midland Art Crawl will take place the first Friday in May. Life on the Streets. Photographs by Conrad Coleman documenting homelessness in Midland will be displayed at the Midland County Historical Museum. Life on the Streets will have an opening reception at 7 p.m. February 15th. The Field's Edge Executive Director John Mark Eccles will talk about the work of his organization to provide homes for the homeless. The photography exhibit will be open until the end of February. The collection of work was previously displayed at the Sibley Nature Center. Ellen Knoll to host film series during Black History Month. For Black History Month, the Ellen Knoll Art Museum and the University of Texas Permian Basin's Art Department are collaborating for a film series. The PBS series, The Black Church, narrated by Henry Louis Gates Jr., will be presented in four segments, according to a Facebook post. Episode 1, The Freedom Faith, will take place Thursday. Episode 2, A Nation Within a Nation, will be shown February 10th. Episode 3, God Will Make a Way, February 17th. And Episode 4, Crisis of Faith, February 24th. All showings will begin at 6 p.m. Event Schedule. Film Series, 6 p.m. Thursday at the Ellen Knoll Art Museum. XOXO Sculpt House, 2 p.m. Friday at 2200 West Wadley. Midland Art Crawl Kickoff Mixer, 4:45 p.m. Friday at Second Story Co-working. Cinderella, 7:30 p.m. Friday, Saturday, February 11th, February 12th, February 18th, February 19th, February 20th, February 25th, and 26th at Midland Community Theater. Los Tres Grandes, Los Huracanes, Primavera y Rieleros, 8 p.m. Friday at La Hacienda Event Center. Midland Gun Exposition, Saturday and Sunday at the Horseshoe. Valentine's Low Street Market, 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. Saturday at Centennial Park. Vets Coffee and Pastries, 10 a.m. Saturday at VFW Post 4149. Low Street Market, 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. Saturday at Centennial Park. Glazing Application, 10 a.m. Saturday at the Arts Council of Midland. Hit the Slopes Olympic Kickoff, 3 p.m. Saturday at Woody's Hideaway. Symphony Sound Bites, 6 p.m. Saturday at the Wagner Knoll Performing Arts Center. Dancing with West Texas Stars 2022, 6:30 p.m. Saturday at the Odessa Marriott Hotel and Conference Center. Our Birthday Party, 7 p.m. Saturday at the Fafa Gallery. Friends of the Symphony, 7:30 p.m. Saturday at the Wagner Knoll Performing Arts Center. Steam Break, Lovin' Legos, 8 a.m. February 7th at the Petroleum Museum. Beautiful, the Carole King Musical, Broadway in the Basin, 7:30 p.m. February 7th at the Wagner Knoll Performing Arts Center. The Palette of America Roundtable, 5:30 p.m. February 8th at the Bush Convention Center. Dr. Jordan B. Peterson, Beyond Order, 7:30 p.m. February 8th at the Wagner Knoll Performing Arts Center. Diane K. Brown Opening Reception, 8:30 p.m. February 8th at the Sibley Nature Center. Dinosaur World Live Story Time, 11:30 a.m. February 9th at the Centennial Library. BPW February Program Meeting, 8:30 a.m. February 9th, 11:30 a.m. February 9th at the Petroleum Club of Midland. The Kindness Project, 6:30 p.m. February 9th, Connection Christian Church of Odessa. Disney Princess, the Concert, 7 p.m. February 9th at the Wagner Knoll Performing Arts Center. Wagner Knoll 10-Year Mini Birthday Party at Vintage Deluxe, 4 p.m. February 10th. Give Your Finances Some Love, 4:30 to 6 p.m. February 10th at Second Story Co-working. Film Series, 6 p.m. February 10th at the Ellen Knoll Art Museum. Authors at the Ector, Elizabeth Wetmore, 7 p.m. February 10th at the Ector Theater. Mike Ryan with guest Cody Hibbard, 9 p.m. February 10th at Rockin' Rodeo. Love Without Limits, 6 p.m. February 11th at Stonegate Fellowship Church. Chad Prather, 8 p.m. February 11th at the Wagner Knoll Performing Arts Center. Cupid's Arrow Valentines, 8 p.m. February 11th at Woody's Hideaway. Cinderella's Royal Breakfast, 9 a.m. February 12th at Midland Community Theater. Boss Babe Market, 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. February 12th at Tall City Brewing. Introduction to Astronomy, Binocular Basics, noon, February 12th, at the Marion Blakemore Planetarium. Kansas, Point of No Return Tour, 7:30 p.m., February 12th, at the Wagner Knoll Performing Arts Center. Galentine's Day, benefiting Safe Place of the Permian Basin, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., February 13th, at the Selfie Museum. Super Bowl Party, 2 p.m., February 13th, at VFM Post 4159. Amanda E. Diego, 8 p.m., February 13th, at the Wagner Knoll Performing Arts Center. City of Midland Career Fair, 3 p.m., February 15th, at Bush Convention Center. The Mavericks, 8 p.m., February 15th, at the Wagner Knoll Performing Arts Center. Steve-O, 6 p.m., February 16th, at the Ector Theater. Midland Dog Show, February 17th through 20th, at the Horseshoe Arena. Motown Experience, 6 p.m., February 17th, at the Selfie Museum. Film Series, 6 p.m., February 17th, at the Ellen Knoll Art Museum. Speed Dating with Midland AF, 6:30 p.m., February 17th, at Tall City Brewing Company. Parents Night Out Open Table, 7 to 10 p.m., February 18th, at 4425 West Wadley. Pecos and the Rooftops, 9 p.m., February 18th, at Dos Amigos. Rise and Run, 8:15 a.m., February 19th, at Centennial Park. Third Saturdays in the Garden, 10 a.m. to noon, February 19th, at the West Texas Food Bank. Gaither Music Group, 6 p.m., February 19th, at Wagner Knoll Performing Arts Center. Rise and Run, 8:15 a.m., February 19th, at Centennial Park. The Journey, a celebration of Black History Month, 2 p.m., February 19th, at Museum of the Southwest. Wedding Open House, 1 p.m., February 20th, at the Odessa Marriott Hotel and Conference Center. Let's Rock Broadway, 7:30 p.m., February 21st, at the Wagner Knoll Performing Arts Center. Oil and Gas Hiring Event, 9 a.m., February 22nd, at the Odessa Marriott Hotel and Conference Center. West Texas Regional Conversation by Texans for the Arts, 2:30 p.m., February 22nd, online. Film Series, 6 p.m., February 24th, at the Ellen Knoll Art Museum. Ray Lana's Free Foster Family Shopping Event, noon to 2 p.m., February 25th, at the Horseshoe Arena. Salute, Black and White Ball Benefiting Meals on Wheels and Additional Seniors Programs, February 24th at the Petroleum Club of Midland. House of Friends for Casa de Amigos, February 24th at Green Tree Country Club. The Shadow Catcher, February 24th through April 8th at Baker Shore Fine Art. Ron White, 8 p.m., February 25th at the Wagner Knoll Performing Arts Center. Citizenship Fair, 8:30 a.m. to 3:30 p.m., February 26th at the Allison Fine Arts Building at Midland College. Cinderella's Royal Breakfast, 9 a.m., February 26th at the Midland Community Theater. Wacky Wig Run, 9 a.m., February 26th at the Scarborough Sports Complex. America First West Texas Edition, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. February 26th at the Wagner Knoll Performing Arts Center. Mardi Gras, 11 a.m. to 10 p.m. February 26th at the Tailgate. Introduction to Astronomy Telescope Tutorial, noon February 26th at the Marion Blakemore Planetarium. Shrimp Fest 2022, 5:30 to 11:30 p.m. February 28th at the Ector County Coliseum, Building G.
Hello, this is Michael reading the obituaries published in the Midland Reporter Telegram, Thursday, February 3rd, 2022. Anastasio Tacho Luera Reyes. Anastasio Tacho Luera Reyes, age 88, went to be with our Lord January 31st. He was born April 23rd, 1933 in Midland to Marahildo Reyes Sr. and Eusebia Luera Reyes. He married Margarita Garcia, September 28, 1957, and were married for 64 years and had three children. He is survived by his wife, Margarita Madge Garcia Reyes, and his sons, Ramon and wife Tommy Reyes of Midland, and Oscar Reyes of Lubbock, plus grandchildren, great-grandchildren. He is also survived by brothers Clyde Reyes and Marahito Jr. Reyes, both of Midland, and his sister Lydia Mancha, also of Midland. He was preceded in death by his daughter Rosalinda Reyes Garcia. Viewing will be held Thursday, February 3rd from 10 a.m. to 9 p.m. at Llewellyn Garcia Pipkin Funeral Home. The rosary will be held Thursday, February 3rd at 7 p.m. and Mass will be held Friday, February 4th at 2 p.m. at Our Lady of Guadalupe Catholic Church, with interment at Serenity Memorial Garden Cemetery following the church service. The family is requesting anyone attending the services to wear a mask due to the ongoing pandemic. Funeral Mass is under the direction of Llewellyn Garcia Pipkin Funeral Home. Family messages and condolences may be emailed to Pipkin at nts-online.net, or you can visit our website at Llewellyn Garcia Pipkin FH. com. David Austin Metz. David Austin Metz of Midland died peacefully February 1st in his home. Funeral Mass will be held at 2 p.m. Friday, February 4th at St. Anne's Catholic Church. Private family burial will be held at Rest Haven Cemetery. He was born to Leslie and Willie Bell Metz in Murfreesboro, Arkansas. He was raised in Texarkana, Arkansas. David is survived by his wife of more than 40 years, Mary Helen Metz, his children, Allison Stark, Leslie Shippey, and Anthony Metz, as well as six grandchildren. He is preceded in death by his parents and older sister, Lola. Arrangements are by Nally Pickle and Welch Funeral Home and Crematory. Online condolences can be made at www.npwelch.com. Don Harvey. Don Harvey transferred his license to the real estate office in the sky on February 1st, 2022. He was born December 8th, 1938 in Victoria, Texas. Harvey was preceded in death by his wife, Thelma Harvey. He is survived by a legacy of realtors, daughter Kim Young, son Dodie Harvey, and wife Molly. Grandchildren Emily Young, Hillary Harvey, Cuddy Young, Donald and Madeline Harvey, Maggie and Nathan Roden, Tessa Young, and three great-grandchildren. Donations to TreePAC at your local realtor association will continue the cause he spent his life supporting. A celebration of life will be held Saturday, February 5th at 10:30 a.m. at Ebensberger Fisher Funeral Home, 111 Rosewood Avenue, Burney, Texas. To leave condolences for the family and to view a video of Harvey's life, please visit www.ebensberger-fisher.com. Arrangements with Ebensberger Fisher Funeral Home of Burney. Ralph Lacey Way. Ralph Lacey Way went to be with his Lord and Savior at the age of 85, January 27, 2022, at his home in Midland, Texas. Ralph was born October 23, 1936, in Texon, Texas, to Lacey Dan and Doris Pembroke Way. He is preceded in death by his parents, wife Ann McCabe Way, sister Linda Way, and brother Richard Way. He is survived by his five daughters, Karen Davis and husband Rick, Carol Ann Eads and husband Rusty, Catherine Jackson and husband Rick, Christy Jones and husband Rob, Kimberly Montgomery and husband Ben. He is adored by his 16 grandchildren and 13 great-grandchildren. A memorial service celebrating Ralph's life will be held at First United Methodist Church of Midland on February 5th at 10, preceded by a graveside service at Rest Haven Cemetery at 9. Donations to honor his memory, if desired, may be made to Texas Tech Foundation Incorporated, Texas Tech University System Financial Services, Box 45025, Lubbock, Texas 79409. Midland College Foundation, 3600 North Garfield, PAD 141, Midland, Texas 79705. Hospice of Midland, 911 West Texas, Midland, Texas 79701, or the charity of your choice. Arrangements are under the direction of Nellie Pickle and Welch Funeral Home and Crematory of Midland. Online condolences may be made at npwelch.com. Ronald Martin Carlson. Ronald Martin Carlson, born March 8, 1955, in Rankin, Texas, went to be with his Lord and Savior Jesus Christ on December 29, 2021. Funeral services will be at 4 p.m. Friday, February 4th, at the Nellie Pickle and Welch Chapel. Burial will be at 3 p.m. Saturday, February 5th at Old Rock Church Cemetery, Cranfills Gap, Texas. He was married in Midland at Midland Lutheran Church to Lannis Blakely. He spent the majority of his life so closely with his kids and grandchildren. He leaves behind to his treasured daughter, Kristen Carlson and Thomas Turner of Midland, and his beloved son, Matthew Carlson, and wife, Casey, of Wimberley, Texas. Four grandchildren. Ronnie was preceded in death by his parents, C.G. Martin Carlson and Doris Aileen Missner Carlson, and one grandchild. Arrangements are under the direction of Nellie Pickle and Welch Funeral Home and Crematory. Online condolences can be made at npwelch.com. Midland Reporter Telegram death notices for Thursday, February 3rd. Buddy Bradley. Buddy Bradley, 70, of Midland, passed away January 31st, 2022. No services planned. Arrangements are under the direction of Nellie Pickle and Welch Funeral Home and Crematory of Midland. Online condolences may be made at npwelch.com. Clyde Young. Clyde Young, 69, of Midland, passed away on January 25, 2022. Graveside service will take place Saturday, February 5th at 11 a.m. at Mount Zion Cemetery in Brownfield, Texas. Funeral arrangements are entrusted to Avalos Sanchez and Thomas Funeral Home. Corinne Coleman. Corinne Coleman, 89, of Midland, passed away January 27, 2022. A wake service will be on Friday, February 4th from 7 p.m. until 8 p.m. at Avalos Sanchez and Thomas Funeral Home. Funeral service will take place on Saturday, February 5th at 1 p.m. at Avalos Sanchez and Thomas Funeral Home. Interment will follow at Serenity Memorial Gardens. Funeral arrangements are entrusted to Avalos Sanchez and Thomas Funeral Home. Hazel Burgess. Hazel Mary Burgess, 90, of Midland, passed away Friday, January 28, 2022. Services will be held at a later date. Arrangements were made with Llewellyn Garcia Pipkin Funeral Home. Leotis Henderson. Leotis Henderson, 93, of Midland, passed away on January 29, 2022. Visitation will be on Sunday, February 6, 2022, from 2 p.m. until 5 p.m. at Avalos Sanchez and Thomas Funeral Home. Graveside service will take place Monday, February 7th at 11 a.m. at Fairview Cemetery. Funeral arrangements are entrusted to Avalos Sanchez and Thomas Funeral Home. Lucien Rudd, Jr. Lucien Rudd, Jr., 92, of Midland, passed away January 31, 2022. The family will receive guests from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m., Saturday, February 5th, at Nally Pickle and Welch Funeral Home. Funeral service will be held at 2 p.m. Sunday, February 6th at Nally Pickle and Welch Funeral Home. Arrangements are under the direction of Nally Pickle and Welch Funeral Home of Midland. Online condolences may be made at npwelch.com. Peggy Williams. Peggy Williams, 87, of Midland, passed away February 1st, 2022. The family will receive guests from 5 p.m. to 7 p.m. Sunday, February 6th at the branch at NPW. Funeral service will be held at 10 a.m. Monday, February 7th at the branch at NPW with interment following at Rest Haven Memorial Park. Arrangements are under the direction of Nally Pickle and Welch Funeral Home and Crematory of Midland. Online condolences may be made at npwelch.com. Richard Popp. Richard Popp, 96, of Midland, passed away February 1st, 2022. Graveside service will be held at 10:30 a.m. Wednesday, February 9th at St. Peter Lutheran Cemetery in Holyrood, Kansas. Arrangements under the direction of Nally Pickle and Welch Funeral Home and Crematory of Midland. Online condolences may be made at npwelch.com. Hello, this is Michael. I'm reading the Odessa American, published Thursday, February 3rd, 2022. Front page. Schools close with winter blast incoming. With winter weather already bearing down on the Permian Basin early Wednesday afternoon, many local institutions announced early that they would close today. Ector County Independent School District is closed and all activities are canceled today. The University of Texas of Permian Basin will work remote and all classes will be virtual both today and Friday. ECISD will make a decision on Friday later today. Odessa College is also closed today. Also, IDEA Public Schools is closed today. Ector County and City of Odessa offices will also be closed today. Freezing temperatures are expected to turn precipitation into snow by the early hours today in the Midland-Odessa area. Temperatures began to fall Wednesday afternoon across much of the Permian Basin and southeastern New Mexico. Meteorologist David Hefnig at the National Weather Service in Midland said temps aren't going to get any warmer. We're going to see them drop throughout the day. There are some scattered showers out there right now, some down around Big Lake and towards Snyder. Until temperatures get down to freezing, there will be some rain showers and cycles like that going on. While it was too warm for freezing rain to be sticking on the roads, Hefnig said it could stick on exposed surfaces, such as signs. As of Wednesday morning, Hefnig said the biggest question was when the precipitation goes from rain to freezing rain to snow, with the likely answer being late Wednesday afternoon and into the night. We're pretty confident that once midnight rolls around, everything will be changed over to snow, and probably even before that, Hefnig said. The question is really on the timing, and a few hours can make a huge difference between whether or not we see a tenth or 0.2 inch of freezing rain versus a 0.5 inch of snow or 0.05 inch of freezing rain versus 3 inches of snow. It doesn't take much change on the timing of that to drill those numbers off. Right now, I think we're going to see wintry precipitation starting around sometime around 3 p.m. Wednesday before sunset. It'll be about 3 to 6 hours before changing over to all snow. Once that's changed over to snow, Hefnig said it'll stay snow at that point. We won't have to worry about any of the other mixed stuff, Hefnig said. The question becomes, how much is going to fall? Most of the precipitation that we're expecting will be in the overnight hours. And then, once sunrise comes up tomorrow, we're going to start seeing much more scattered. A winter weather advisory is in effect for the Permian Basin, where snowfall is 1 to 3 inches are expected. The freezing temperatures will last for likely 3 days, Hefnig said. Ector County Sheriff Mike Griffiths said the West Annex, located at 2261 West Sycamore Drive, can be open for people who are without heat. Griffiths said the West Annex can seat about 40 to 50 people. Contact number is 432-335-3050. If somebody is cold, I want them to call us, Griffiths said. We will put them in there. We have lots of tables and chairs. We have a coffee pot and a little kitchen. I don't want anybody getting cold. The Salvation Army will open its doors and serve as an emergency inclement weather temporary shelter today. The shelter can't exceed 75% capacity, or roughly 40 people, due to COVID-19. People will be required to wear masks. Gene Powell, the spokesman for TxDOT's Odessa District, said due to projected rainfall before expected snowfall, that some of the brine that is used to pre-treat roads will wash off the road and ice will form. The important thing to note is that it will rain before it snows, which means some of it will wash off, and that means we can't prevent ice from forming, Powell said. There will be ice. Don't think it's going to be clear roads everywhere. There are going to be ice patches. Building a Foundation. Principal Looks at Big Picture of Education by Ruth Campbell. With a variety of experience under her belt, Rosa Cruz is adjusting to the principal's post at Burleson Elementary School and to Odessa. Having spent most of her life in Houston, Cruz is enjoying the smaller size and reduced traffic of Odessa. She started the day before school began in August 2021. It was a very quick transition to Odessa from Houston. I'm originally from Mexico. I was born in Mexico, and I moved to Houston at an early age, and I was there for all of my life and went to college in Houston. Making the transition to Odessa, it was a great experience. I had been dying to leave Houston because I wanted to see more of what was out there. I wanted to see what other school districts were doing and what other communities were struggling with, Cruz said. Her work has run the gamut from higher education to kindergarten through 12th grade. I started my career in a higher ed in the University of Houston downtown as a recruiter, and then moved into public education, Cruz said. A native from Nuevo Laredo, Mexico, her father decided to move to Houston, where he opened his own business. Cruz was five. She didn't know the language or the culture, but had to learn English fast. She would translate for her mother. I did go through bilingual education. It was the beginning of bilingual education, so it was in its early stages. But my father pulled me from bilingual education and decided that I was to be immersed in English, she recalled. At that age, you can learn other languages quickly. I fell in love with languages, so I learned a lot of different languages. I don't speak them fluently, but I love to learn new languages and new cultures, Cruz said. She attended Houston Baptist University, where she double majored in psychology and Spanish literature. Her master's is in curriculum and education from Texas Wesleyan University, and she took an administration degree from the University of St. Thomas. Cruz has been in education for 24 years. What drew me to Odessa was the opportunity to really learn a new community and just be a part of a community that is a smaller community than Houston. And I was really searching for a small community that could really benefit from my experience, and I can learn a lot from the small community, she said. Something that I've always wanted to do is just travel anywhere around Texas, and the opportunity to move away from Houston came along, and I was like, yes, I'll take it, Cruz added. She added that everyone has been really nice. In Houston, people are very, very nice, considering that it's a huge, huge city. But coming to West Texas, I just feel like there's so many nice people, and I've really enjoyed living here, Cruz said. She has two grown children, a son and daughter. Her son is a graduate from Texas A&M University, and her daughter graduated from the University of Houston. Both are living in Houston. Burleson has about 440 students in grades kindergarten through fifth and 50 staff members. Our numbers fluctuate constantly. We are a high mobility school, so we do get a lot of students that leave, a lot of students that come in, Cruz said. Cruz was a middle school principal for 6 years and taught high school for 10 years. I really fell in love with middle school. I thought that was a very good foundation, and it really determines if students continue in high school and graduate high school. I've worked in kindergarten through eighth grade, and I love that ability to transition from elementary to middle school in the same school. But a middle school is a very different environment, she said. I also love working with parents at that level. When the elementary opportunity came along, I thought, wow, this is really where we set the foundation. That is a responsibility Cruz takes very seriously. Every child is different, so it's important to me to really get to know every child. And you do get to know them by interacting with them in the cafeteria, in the hallways, in the classrooms, and pulling them for small interventions, Cruz said. She added that teachers are good about telling her what materials and training they need to better serve students. One of her objectives at Burleson is to ensure that all students are successful. We do that by addressing their needs, and that is my goal, to ensure that we meet the needs of every student on campus. We've implemented a student leadership team. I pose a question like, how can we better our school culture? And they respond. They have been really good about bringing topics to the table and saying, can we address this? We have seen a dramatic change in our student culture, Cruz said. She started with 12 students in the student leadership group, and that has increased to 18. They have been learning about Robert's Rules of Order, which are used at school board meetings, for example. We started with some fifth graders, but then we added fourth graders in order to develop the fourth grade leadership, because our fifth graders are going to be leaving us soon, and the older students can serve as role models, Cruz said. They're creating a recycling program, and they also assist with the Food to Kids program, organizing food to kids every Friday. They also do leadership activities, she added. Chief of Schools Keely Simpson said Cruz is an experienced principal who brings a wealth of knowledge to ECISD. She is a strong instructional leader who puts students at the center of all decisions, Simpson said in an email. Executive Director for Leadership, Cynthia Ratana, oversees 11 campuses, including Burleson. Ratana said Cruz is a visionary leader who will do a great job at Burleson. She added that Cruz always wants to learn and do what's best for her campus. She understands the needs that the campus has. There's a lot of needs, data-wise, that the campus is showing, Ratana said. Higher Ed Chief, Post-Secondary Ed Essential, by Ruth Campbell. There is lots of money out there right now for people who want to go to college or finish up a degree. Texas Commissioner of Higher Education, Harrison Keller, said the latest grants awarded by the Texas Higher Education Coordinating Board are for financial aid and can be used especially by people for reskilling and upskilling. We've got some grants that we awarded to institutions recently to help them build new programs or add seats, add capacity in the programs that they have, especially aligned with the current emerging workforce needs, Keller said during a recent phone interview. We had these stimulus funds entrusted to the Coordinating Board for higher education institutions, so Texas is one of only a few states that's prioritized higher education for stimulus funds that are part of what's called the Governor's Emergency Education Relief Fund, or GEER. So Governor Abbott and the legislative leadership actually announced the final allocation from GEER just over the Christmas break, Keller said. It was a little over $93 million. So all told, they have allocated over this year and a half about $360 million for higher education through the GEER program. We have been working closely with the institutions across multiple fronts, especially on programs related to immediate workforce needs, he said. The Coordinating Board also recently voted to update its 60 by 30 Texas strategic plan that aims to increase the percentage of 25 to 34-year-olds with a certificate or degree. In Ector County, according to recent presentations at Odessa College, 24% do not have a high school diploma. 16% of people 25 or older have a bachelor's degree. And 7% of people 25 or older have an associate degree. The county has a 48% college-going rate. The college-going rate is the number of students who matriculate to a university the fall after their high school graduation. Keller said the new plan is being called Building a Talent Strong Texas. This is a product of more than a year's effort. We engaged hundreds of stakeholders, including higher education leaders and faculty, employers, chambers of commerce, K-12 educators, policymakers, and other stakeholders, Keller said. The product is outlined in these new Talent Strong Texas goals in three broad areas. So there are new goals for educational attainment, he said. There are new goals around producing what we call credentials of value. So we don't just want more credentials. We want to make sure that those are credentials that are going to be valuable for individuals, for employers, for the state. As part of that, there's an updated goal around student debt. And then there's a new goal around research, development, and innovation because our economy is changing much faster than anyone anticipated. It's especially changing in direction where we not only require more degrees and certificates and other credentials, but also where the competitiveness of our economy depends on our research and development infrastructure, Keller added. The governor and the legislature have made multiple investments in strengthening our research universities and other institutions across the state. But our higher education goals in our previous plan were silent on that R&D mission. So now in the updated plan, we'll renew our focus on research. I'm enthusiastic about it. Texas is actually the first date to condition our higher education goals on the value of those credentials, Keller said. As they think about the degrees and certificates they're counting, they need to consider a broader range of credentials than traditional college and graduate degrees. It can be certificates and certifications, apprenticeships, and industry-recognized credentials that take additional training beyond a high school diploma, he added. It's important for us to emphasize that we're talking about degrees, certificates, and other credentials of value, and those can include short-term workforce credentials and other credentials that historically we have not been tracking and we've not been emphasizing, he added. Although Texas is creating jobs at a breakneck pace, there are still people who can't find jobs. We saw that especially these last couple of years. The pandemic accelerated changes that were already underway in the economy. We had already been using technology more. We already were relying on data more in various sectors and different jobs. All of that accelerated during the pandemic, and the changes that were already underway accelerated in the direction of higher skills, higher credentials faster than anybody anticipated. So if you look at unemployment during the pandemic, there's a striking correlation between unemployment rates and educational attainment, Keller said. I was talking with my friend and colleague, Brian Daniel, who is the chairman of the Texas Workforce Commission, and he told me when they've analyzed their data about unemployment claims, less than 5% of the unemployment claims were paid to individuals who had had bachelor's degrees, and more than 70% of unemployment claims were paid to individuals who had high school diplomas or less. The data is absolutely clear that one of the best investments you can make to help open doors to good jobs, to new career opportunities, to greater income, and one of the best protections against long-term unemployment is a high-quality credential beyond a high school diploma, Keller said. That's increasingly essential. The vast majority of these new jobs we're creating in Texas require some kind of education beyond high school.
We've been reading from the Midland Reporter Telegram and the Odessa American. Please stay tuned for the weather, followed by the second hour's reading of the newspapers.